You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. As I come to you, it is the 2nd of May, 2017, and today we are talking to our old friends from Newsbud.com. Of course, you will be well familiar with Newsbud's founder, Sibelle Edmonds, and you will hopefully also be familiar with Spiro Skouras, who I've had on the program several times, and I believe is the general man about town and know-it-all of Newsbud.com. Is that the right title there, Spiro?
Well, I don't claim to be a know-it-all about anything, James.
Well, you could have fooled me. All right, so it is good to have both of you back here on the program. And as I'm sure my audience has been paying attention, Newsbud.com has been growing in leaps and bounds, especially of late, adding more programs than most people can even keep track of, let alone watch on a daily basis. But it is coming out. There is an incredible amount of info coming out from Newsbud.com right now. So for the few people in the audience who may not have been keeping track of this, why don't we first just start talking about what you have accomplished in the past year or so in building up Newsbud.com, and then we'll talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing next with your next round of Phase 3 funding for the Newsbud project. So let's start with what has been accomplished, what is going on right now, who have you got on your team, and what are you doing?
Well, this is going to be a long list to go over without being wordy about. But as you know, I started as a whistleblower, okay, for people who are not familiar with my background. And in 2002, 3, 2004, 5, 6, I went through the whole battle, the Supreme Court, etc., gag orders. I believe, and I have believed all along, but I believe so even more today, one of the biggest reasons for the success of this despotic government that butchered all the constitutional amendments, etc., with gag orders, the state secrets privilege cover-up, was because of the climate, the media climate facilitating it. Granted, it was right after 9/11, and we didn't have many alternative sources at the time when I blew the whistle. There was no YouTube. We didn't have YouTube in 2002, 2003. We didn't have live streaming. We didn't have Twitter. So when I was in front of that Supreme Court and reading what the government had issued, the gag order, yeah, there were maybe two or three semi-mainstream media outlet representatives, but that was it. So basically, nobody heard about what the government was doing for people who blew the whistle, reported wrongdoing. And things have been changing, of course, with the internet, with these mediums starting, such as YouTube, social media. There are goods and there are bads. And hopefully, if we have time, we'll get to that. It's not all good. It's not all good, folks. A lot of good stuff, a lot of great opportunities to do good things. But the opposite is true as well. I started a small site. It was called Boiling Frogs Post. And James, that's when you and I began working together. And it was going to be a personal thing, almost like a blog site that I was going to maintain. And then I thought with the introduction of the internet and all these mediums, there were going to be a lot of good outlets out there providing what mainstream media covered up. But it was disheartening and it was a disillusionment for me because it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I ended up spending so much time going through, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 dozen websites in order to get understanding of what was happening on several areas, geopolitically, police state, civil liberties fronts, you know, technology, etc. And that was when the idea of Newsbud was born. I said, well, this is something that I really don't want to do it at this scale to be really effective, to really fill that void, that big void. We need to have a grand start and start having more than one or two ingredients. And if you look at our shows today, and I'm right now talking about our multimedia shows, we provide the audio, the podcast, the video, the summary, the synopsis, and all the sources that our producers use to deliver each one of these shows. And we have shows every single day, basically. to have one of the world's top experts, for example, in this case, Professor Filip Kovacevic, with everything Russia, you know, all the things, the shenanigan during the elections, everybody scratching their heads saying, well, many of us don't have even the basic understanding of the history, context, why this is happening. Well, we brought on board as a partner, as a team member, Professor Filip Kovacevic. He has been producing for 6-7 months every Sunday one of the most amazing shows on Russia. And telling people from the publications there, this is not RT because they have English language, but in Russian language publications, what the Russians are talking about, what are they thinking? How is the propaganda working in Russia? Because look, it's not only here, it's everywhere. Russia has its own propaganda. China has its own propaganda. You know, Venezuela's state-owned publications have their own propaganda. But to have a better understanding, we need to have that perspective. We need to put them side by side rather than getting exposed only to one-sided propaganda. And he's a professor. He lectures in the University of San Francisco. He speaks four languages, including Russian. He has lived and thought in Russia. So you are looking at someone who is not theoretically expert, but also full-fledged life experience, political experience expert on the topic. Same thing with China and North Korea, India, Pakistan. We brought on board Peter Lee, who's been practicing journalism as an expert on this region. He lived in China, for over 10 years. He speaks Mandarin. He has worked for various publications. This is his area of expertise. It's not mine. I couldn't talk about China and explain a lot of things. My expertise is mainly Middle East and specific countries. So that void that we couldn't find anywhere else was filled. Same thing with civil liberties, domestic issues, okay? How our so-called rights, we don't have them anymore. People are under this illusion that we have these rights. Well, actually, in actuality, we don't have these rights, folks. There is this old historical document called Constitution, but it's been shredded, butchered. Who to bring to talk about these rather than me, the whistleblower with my experience, but someone who's a legal expert, someone who's an expert on constitution, someone who has dedicated his life for the past 3 decades on liberties and constitution and police state practices long before even 9/11. Well, we brought on board one of the nation's top constitutional attorneys, John W. Whitehead, who has his own exclusive show only at NewsBud, and it's Battlefield America. And I don't think that the matters and the subjects he's bringing up can be pounded on people, frequent enough. It's something that people need to hear, people need to see, especially people here in the United States, because based on what I'm seeing, based on what I'm reading, we still have so many people under that illusionment. A lot of it is the denial, some of them conscious. We have talked about this during your shows, so I'm not going to take up the time to talk about that. One of our newest addition is this incredible young producer, editor, writer, a man who's wearing so many different hats is Jeff DiRiso. He's bringing another element that we didn't have before. His show every week covers technology from artificial intelligence to the use of this technology for good and also for a lot of evil, bad stuff on the ground. You know, how is military using this technology? How is your state police is using this technology? How is NSA using this technology? And also bringing these unbelievably important questions that invokes automatically critical thinking. If you go to the comments sections for Jeff DiRiso's weekly show, I love reading the comments for his show. I mean, people are chiming in and they are posing some really astute questions. Well, that was a missing element. It was not something I could fail because I'm not a technological expert. In fact, I'm challenged technologically, completely challenged. Well, we ended up with someone who's doing editing for our videos, just like Brock West, who's amazing. And he's an incredible graphic designer, extremely knowledgeable. And by the way, James, the reason I even found him was you and Twitter, because I put out a message on Twitter saying we are looking for an extra hand with our video editing because we have so much, you know, so many productions. And I got responses from various people. He was on top of the list because he said, for years and years, I have been following Corbett Report, James Corbett. And through James Corbett, I discovered you and your site. And I said, okay, I really want to get to know about this guy. Well, he's an amazing, multi-talented person. We are very fortunate to have him. Kurt Nemo, again, he's been in this area of journalism, video production. He's an author. He's a writer. He's an analyst. He's, again, such a multifaceted person and has been in this area as a journalist, as a producer, as a website overseer for a long time, experienced, mature. But and then, of course, great authors we have. A lot of these are listed under our About Us section, so I don't want to babble about that. But I want to tell you one of or a couple of ingredients all of them have in common. And I'm talking about our team members, okay? Every single one of our team members, every single one of them, nonpartisan, okay? They're not Republican, they're not Democrat, they are not Libertarian, they're not Green Party. They are not. They are independent thinkers, every single one of them. What I mean by that, we don't have any ideologues. First of all, we wouldn't be able to get along with ideologues. We had some experiences in the past. Thankfully, they were resolved in a civilized fashion. But it came to a point where we were covering, Spiro and I, the Malheur protests and everything, and we came under attack by some people who were contributing to our site. They called me a skinhead. They called me a right-wing, whatever. So I realized that was one of the most important ingredients to seek on our partners. They are not ideologues. They are open-minded. Another great ingredient I have to list here, again, I'm sorry, I don't want to hijack this forum, and I want Spiro to talk here, has to do with people being, I call it being grown up, being mature, meaning they are not wrapped up in this ego business, because that's another thing I don't deal well with. Why is my show listed after this person's show? You know what I'm talking about. In fact, James, you and I had discussed in the past the idea of expansion. And both of us agreed that running an organization, these interpersonal conflict management, both of us were disgusted with that idea. I still am. I don't have to do that kind of stuff. Thankfully, being careful and growing steadily, slowly, we have come up with this team that everybody's independent. We don't have micromanagement. We don't have the chain of hierarchy in our organization. We don't have board of advisors, board of directors, bureaucracy rules, none of those stuff. We have people who are good at what they do in presenting information to our viewers and presenting them independently without being, you know, a subscriber of a particular philosophy, etc. And that's it. We're all basically on equal terms. With that said, I don't know how much of your question I answered. I always like blah, 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 but okay, here it is. I'm going to stay quiet until you close your next question.
Well, it was quite an answer. And you did go through a lot of the programs and people that are now on board with NewsBuds. So that's great. Spiro, perhaps you can fill us in on the history of the first two funding drives for NewsBud and what we're going to attempting to accomplish with the third one.
Absolutely, James. Well, we presented our model in a four-phase campaign on Kickstarter in order to get us up and running as an organization in operation, a full-fledged news site with paid employees, paid contractors. You know, as Sabelle mentioned, you can refer to our About Us section, and we have over a dozen people on the NewsBud team at this point. So in order to make this new site possible, we didn't want to be funded by any ads or any corporation ties. We didn't want to have any ties to any foundations, you know, like Soros, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, all that stuff. We wanted to be completely and solely independent. We didn't want to have any dependence on anyone, you know. So we wanted a people-funded model. So we went with Kickstarter, they have the strictest guidelines. You have to meet all these requirements in order to even have your project eligible to be on their site. So we chose them. It's a very reputable site. And we set up the model to be four phases to reach a goal to where we would be operational. But in the meantime, we would supplement our funding from the people by building our subscription base. And our subscription base is key to keeping NewsBud operational, in addition to our fundraising programs. So we had two successful campaigns. In fact, the first successful campaign was the most funded journalism project of all time on Kickstarter, which is amazing. And it's only possible because of our supporters, because of the people out there sharing our information. And people like you, James, thank you for, you know, giving us this platform to help spread our message, to help get the information out there. And we're back for a third campaign right now. We just launched it just a couple days ago, and we're hoping for everyone's support so we can continue to operate this great, fantastic team that we've been able to build in this short period of time. I mean, NewsBud's only been operational for 9 months at this point, and it just blows my mind when we were putting together this Kickstarter project, because it kind of puts it in a perspective that I don't normally get to see it in. You know, normally when you're in the day-to-day operations, you kind of lose yourself and all of that. Well, we put everything and formatted everything and took a step back and looked at it. And I just couldn't believe what we've been able to accomplish here. And again, none of it would be possible without the support of the public.
Okay, so there are subscribers to NewsBud. What do subscribers get from their subscription?
Well, I'll go ahead and take this one, Sibel. Our subscribers, we like to refer to them as our community because we are building what we like to, you know, it's a community of people, of like-minded people who are after this in-depth analysis and knowledge and information. And so if you become a subscriber or join the NewsBud community, you'll have access every week to exclusive content that is not available anywhere else but NewsBud.com. So we've been putting out at least one video per week that is a subscribers special edition NewsBud community exclusive video. So every week you're going to get that video. We've been adding some articles. Occasionally you get some articles that are totally exclusive. And when you join the NewsBud community, you get a login. You know, you get to sign in and you get to access the comment section. You get a monthly newsletter we've been doing for Sibel for the past couple months now. And so we're trying to give back as much as we can to our supporters. And really just it's amazing. I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah, he's absolutely right, because for this model to be successful, you know, it is with any startup business, you need the seed money, right? You need to have some money in advance. So, for example, when you're going to make employment or contractual agreement with the people who are going to work for you and with you for your organization, you know that 2 months from now, you're not going to tell them, look, we can't pay you this month. We didn't have much voluntary subscription or donations. You have to be able to do that, especially when you're looking at the caliber of people we're working with. To just give you an example, and I hope Jeff DeRisso doesn't mind that I'm talking about it. When we hooked up with Jeff, Jeff was in the process of changing one of, you know, his job, okay? And he was making a very, very nice high-level salary for a major company, not a media company. And it was, how many hours of editing and work do you need? And we said, well, as many hours you have. But then he said, well, I need to know whether I need to look for some other part-time jobs and fit you in certain slot and tell you this many hours I have available, or if you want me to have a full-time position, or you tell me how many hours of work you guarantee per week. Why? He has to pay rent. He's starting a family, expanding his family. He has a car, and he's a, you know, multifaceted, multi-talented person with a great resume who can make big amount of money out there and has been. Well, to get someone with those capabilities, technically, et cetera, educational background, all these things, we have to be able to say, this is what we have, and we are set for a year. So you can be with us at least for a year, and we're going to expand beyond that. So hopefully you'll be with us forever. And that's why it's the seed money combined with subscription, because subscriptions, as they add up and we reach a certain level, that certain level at our current size with our expenses is around 6,000 to 7,000 subscribers, okay? We are about to be 2,000 subscribers. Now, if you look at our 16, 17 team members, some of them part-time contract, some of them full-time contract, and some of them are based on full-time employment. And if you add those 16,000 based on minimum wage amount, you're going to see what number you come up with, which we don't have minimum wage numbers with the people we are dealing with. So when you add that to the operational cost and everything else, we are looking at per year somewhere between $500,000 to $600,000 operation here. This is having 3 full-time video editors and post-production editors, graphic design capability. We are looking at 5 experts producing weekly shows. We have people who are writing analysis, some of them. We just brought on board Pai Ian. Again, he's one of the well-respected, well-recognized financial experts. We didn't have that expertise in-house. And a lot of people were sending us email, are you going to have some show on the financial econ developments that you can tie those to geopolitical developments? Well, we are in the process of hopefully, after this Kickstarter is successful, to start offering one show per week that ties in, whether it's on oil prices, unemployment, etc., to all the other geopolitical developments, to for those things to make sense. I mean, one of the sites I'm looking at on daily basis is, I'm not saying it's a good site, it's oilprice.com. Because when I'm looking at the development about what is being blown up in Libya, when they're trying to keep the prices of oil at certain level, and how certain pipeline gets sabotaged, or how that is part of the geopolitical stuff we have roundtable and talk about. But a lot of people don't put those ingredients together, so you have incomplete, partial picture. But you need to put the econ finances, like you cover Federal Reserve. Well, I wish I had that expertise. I don't. Does that relate directly to a lot of things we are covering? Yes. Would that be a major, significant missing ingredients? Yes. I don't want to open my mouth on that topic because I have limited knowledge. I'm still going through learning process. On the other hand, we want to find someone with those expertise that can be combining that with other political, geopolitical developments that we are seeing. So basically, subscription is going to be the backbone, the real operational backbone of NewsBud. We don't want to do this crowdfunding business because, James, every single one of us, we hate the process. It takes so much time and energy away from the producing all the good stuff we want to do. He and I, Svira and I, we just returned from Vietnam. And we are loaded with all these films, interviews we conducted, and we need to go through post-production editing with those. We haven't had a chance. It's been one thing after another. It's been sitting there, and it's really stressful to are we going to make it this time? But once we reach that 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 subscribers, or that, I don't know, 3 cups of coffee amount per month, we don't have to do that. As we grow the subscribers base, then we can expand instead of doing ahead of the time. This time with this model, it had to be chicken or the egg. In order to deliver for these people who donated and say, look what we are giving you, all these needed ingredients, we have to have that seed money from the Kickstarter to put together the team and start the production and all the ingredients needed for professional productions as well. I mean, we don't record and put it up there. You know how it is. On average, our 20 minutes video goes through, on average, 10 hours of post-production editing by Spiro, Jeff, or Brock West. And they are doing a fantastic professional job. Well, that's 10 hours there. It takes our producers, China Watch, Peter Lee, or Philip Kovacevic, or Kurt Nemo. The research time, 5 to 10 hours. Then it's writing their own scripts and then recording, sometimes having several takes, right? So between the post-production editing, the producer's research, writing all the sources, fact-checking, delivery, and then after the post-production editing, to put that through the web admin on the site, promote it on the social media, give the heads up, on average, each show costs us 25 hours of work. Collectively, 25 hours of work. Well, we have minimum of 5-6 shows per week, and that is just our video production. Now, we have one of the top aggregated news site segment in our site there. Every day, we have somewhere between 25 to 50 news developments around the world that we go and pick, select very selectively. You know, we don't do CNN's headline, for example. Again, tailored towards our audience because they don't see that right on top of, let's say, RT page. So these are all the things that cause... And the model that would make it successful is subscribers based. Currently, over 90% of our content is free to all. All our editorials analysis are basically free to all. All our daily selected, and that's on average 5 hours of work minimum for our aggregated news, that is free to all. And about 80% of our video productions is free to all. In fact, for the first 6 months, up until 3 months ago, we didn't even have these weekly videos for subscribers only. The only reason we started doing it was because based on voluntary subscription, people saying, yo, you're doing great job. You know what? I'm going to support you. Have we had people who have said that? Of course. But we were getting 20 to 25 subscribers a month, James. The monthly recurring or annual recurring. At that rate, we would never make it even to our second or third year. It can't happen. For us to reach that subscribers base level, we need to add on average 200 subscribers per month. You say, wow, that's a lot. Yes, and this is what Kickstarter helps us through that period during that first one and a half year. By making one production per week subscribers based, we started seeing somewhere between 75 to 90 subscribers per month. Now, 4, 5, 6 months down the road, after we keep telling people that, please come and do that voluntary, because we want it to be open to all. We want it to be voluntary. If we don't get the number, then we have to, by default, we have to increase the number of shows or productions that we offer that are going to go for people who are with us. As Spiro said, this is a community. NewsBud is the NewsBud community, including the NewsBud team. It's not us and the people. It is a community.
And just to clarify, for people who donate to the Kickstarter, they become subscribers?
Okay, so the Kickstarters, we go with their templates, and they say you designate rewards for certain tiers of the contribution. And before I get to that, with Kickstarter, it's all or nothing platform, meaning right now we are going for $115,000. If we raise $112,000, we won't get anything. And nobody's credit cards is charged. So even if we were to fall short by $1, we won't get it. It's all or nothing. So people's credit card won't be charged. Now the reward system, you know, let's say if you subscribe, I mean, if you donate to our Kickstarter, I'm just giving an example, $250. For that, we provide people with, let's say, I'm just going to say it from top of my head, a T-shirt or a NewsBud hat, plus a 3-month or 6-month subscription that they will have. And we will send them the username and the login information. Then they can go and change the password. So depending on the level of how much they have contributed, they will be getting certain, like 3-month subscription, 1-month subscription, 6 months, 1 year, or indefinite subscription that would never expire.
Okay, well, I think we've covered all of the bases in terms of what's going on right now. I guess the only issue that I have on the table is my long-standing, ongoing issue about paywalls, which I personally dislike for two reasons. The utilitarian reason, because firstly, I just don't think that's how the internet works. But please do prove me wrong on that utilitarian aim. The other is the philosophical part of this, which is that even I understand the funding concerns, of course I do, but if the aim is to get NewsBud to be the sort of agenda-setting, news-driving organization that sets the tone for the mainstream or whatever, that starts to influence the world, I don't know if that can happen behind a paywall. And I'm willing to hear otherwise, but I just don't think that's the way to...
Well, first of all, it will have several segments, and I will have Spear answer that too. And I will have to do some correction, because that may be the impression I may have given to the people. Number one, over 90% of our content is free, okay? Like, you provide the newsletter and the video per month for your subscribers. Whether you want to call it paywall or you want to call it a perk for people who are supporting you, it is that what it is. And that's number one. Number two, I don't know if I want to describe our model as trend-setting out there, you know, driving the media. We are ambitious. I'm very ambitious, but I'm not ambitious to that point. Do I want to offer, for example, translation subtitles for some of our videos that involve Russia or China? So people there, they're visiting some of these, and you're like, can you please? Because you're talking about our country, let's say in this case, Turkey. It would be nice to have subtitles. So I have those ambitions, but I don't have these ambitions of quantity, because I am, and this is my vision for my life, and it applies everywhere, not only to work. I'm more for quality than quantity. We don't want to have this thing that millions of people are going to see, and we want to be exposed to millions of people. That is not what we are looking for. For example, we started NewsBud Academy. Our first online course is going to be offered by Professor Philip Kovacevic, okay? And it's going to provide the viewers with this, you know, academic, but also experience-based lecture series seminar, so they can actually digest and understand what's going on around them when it comes to all the Russia-related issue. It's an amazing, when I looked at all the text, that it's an amazing. Well, here's a professor, he works as a full-time professor, and his time to prepare, which has been taking him 3 months to do this, is worth certain amount. And nobody in this world ever should expect that to be thrown free for them so they can go and log in. I mean, unless you deal with billionaires and multimillionaires who don't have rent and food money to worry about, if we were all on our team in that position, I would say, yes, we'll keep everything open. The other thing I want to emphasize is quality, because I know a lot of people have been talking about corporate mainstream media. And I know a lot of people have been talking about lately about fake news. Fake news is the catch-all phrase now. And then there's such thing called junk news sites. And I see it everywhere. They are popping up like mushrooming everywhere. It's junk. It's not news. It's not information. It's not analysis. They don't even provide background for people who write crap like that. It's like, what makes this person an expert? What is the background? Whose work am I reading? I want to know. Don't you want to know? But there are a lot of people who are... I mean, they're gobbling it up because it's either sensationalized story or it's like completely exaggerated or it's gossip. Some people like it. We don't want to attract those people. The other thing people don't understand, I don't know whether it's because of lack of information out there, is there is no such a thing on internet as free content. I haven't come across that yet. I don't want to name them, but some of these news that they are saying they're alternative news site. I was showing Spiro this morning as we were selecting our daily picks. I went through 4 or 5 of those, the ones who have popped up in the last 4 or 5 years. I was like manic, closing windows. There was one ad, and this is an alternative media saying that mainstream media is really bad. didn't we have this pop-up that I couldn't even close? It was Time Magazine promotion. I was like, you bastards. How could you be alternative when you're shoving this down my throat and saying, listen, I couldn't shut down Time Magazine's promotion, okay? I don't know if you did the screen capture of it, but they are saying they are alternative. Guess what, folks? You can go to those sites and you can swallow as many advertisements as you want for all the pharmaceutical, whether it's, you know, Merck, whether it's Pfizer. You can go and swallow as many advertisements on these trashy mainstream media advertisements there or party politics. We don't do that. Any site that has those and says, I'm giving you free content, they are lying. I think they are committing a major sin in journalism, and that is putting up advertisements. I don't care if it's Merck or Time Magazine. I don't want to deal. I don't want my daughter to deal with it. None of my family members want to see ads. So that's why I'm saying we are going for quality people, because people who seek that kind of quality that they say, I don't want to pay for their advertisement, because when they click, folks, you know, that site makes 15 cents and Time Magazine's stock price goes up by, I don't know, I'm just throwing number here, by 5 cents. So you have actually contributed to the enemies, whether it's these mega corporations, whether some of the NGOs ran by Soros, Koch brothers at all. There is no such a thing. I haven't seen free content on the internet to date based on that alone. And I know Spiro had a few good points that he was talking about during the previous interview. So I'll have Spiro address that, because a lot of those people, alternatives, they are on their way out, folks, because after this fake news stuff, those advertisers are plugging the plug, you know, pulling the plug on them. So they are screwed. And actually, you know what? I am not sad. Actually, it's great. It's cleaning up the junk news sites, because we have had so many of them. And I know Spiro has had firsthand experience of hearing from people who are losing their revenues because ads no longer brings money. So those mega corporations are putting them out of business. We don't want that. And people who want to see ads, they should not become subscribers. And we do not want them as part of this community, because we don't believe on, you know, in mega corporations and advertisements. We are as selective about when it comes to our community members as they are with us. So it's a mutually, as you call it, volunteerism. And Spiro, I'm going to go ahead and let you take off from here, because you have been dealing with people who are shutting down their businesses.
Well, I think you pretty much already said everything that I was going to say. But I mean, in my opinion, you know, I mean, well, we see a lot of times some people coming and complaining when they see certain content going behind the paywall. Okay, James, you brought up a very valid point there. But Sibel, you did counter with some good points there, that really nothing is free. And we do put 90% of our content out there available to the public. And having some content that is exclusively available for the people that support us, I mean, we want to give back to them. So that's how we have to fund ourselves, because we don't run these ads. In my opinion, that's a conflict of interest for sites that claim that they're, you know, have this all this journalistic integrity, but then, you know, they could be influenced in their coverage based on who's funding them. If they're having a big pharmaceutical ad company, you know, a big pharmaceutical ad on their site, then maybe they won't tell you the latest scandal, for example, of what may have happened with their latest drugs. For example, so James, I'm sure you know many people working for various other sites out there, as do we. And what I've been hearing is these sites that rely on the ad revenue are really feeling the squeeze, and they're being crippled from the demonetization that they are experiencing. And at so many of these news sites that are supposed alternative news sites are receiving money from this same system that they claim to be fighting. And what it has done is it's created this huge dependency for their very survival on these despicable ads that are now being taken away. And I have a feeling, and Sibel, as you mentioned, that we're going to start to see a lot of these sites disappearing very soon. Yeah. And yeah. That is one of the many reasons why, you know, we don't run any ads. We don't want to be dependent or held hostage in any way. So we're 100% funded by the people. And this is through the two-pronged approach, through our Kickstarters and through the subscription model. That's how we can remain independent from the system.
That's very true. And I want to emphasize the fact, again, is something that this is why I will never run for office. First of all, I have no desire, but because I say things bluntly, and that is one of the reasons that people say, oh, she's so polarized. There are people who love her. There are people who hate her. We are selective. I mean, people who don't mind ads, for example, I encourage them not to become subscribers. Spiro knows I have had actually saying, offering people, say, can I give refund and have you exit? Because the kind of language you use on our website, the comment section, which is for subscribers, is not the kinds of divisive, awful things we want to see. We don't bash people. We don't use too much, I want to say too much, too many dirty words. Once in a while, I'm known to say, F, blah, blah. But too many times, it gets like repulsive. And some people may call it censorship. Even in our YouTube thing, I don't allow that. That's my policy. You want to say F word, and MILF and things like that, you can go to somebody else's site, and I make it clear I censor anybody who comes and runs their mouth and put out profanity and bash people and make no sense, because it's a constructive community for critical thinkers, for selective people. I mean, to give you an idea, and I don't know how much time you have, James, but I want to speed up. There's this lady, I don't even know. She's a subscriber. This is the most recent comment on our website. And can you please read that? Because these are the people who make up our community, NewsBud community members. I am, maybe some people may call me anarchist. Some people call me libertarians. I don't go based on quota system. I don't do things so that I will be politically correct. And I don't do things because I want to be liked or loved for any of those reasons. We make rules. We all agree at NewsBud with those rules and say, this is who we are. And the class of people, and I'm not talking about economic class. I'm talking about people. I don't care whether they are conservative leaning, libertarian leaning. They are not partisan. They don't have this short attention span saying, why don't you make 2 minutes video? I don't want any video that is more than 5 minutes. Don't come to our site. If you have short attention span, nobody forces you to subscribe, don't come to our site. In fact, we don't want those people. I see that as one of the disease, not only symptoms, but the disease of where we are today, these short attention span that is being fed by mainstream media. They are fulfilling that, and it's making the attention shorter. And I don't want that. Actually, I want to combat that. So yes, it is a specific community. We are not for everyone. We don't want to have millions of subscribers, God forbid, because if I have millions of subscribers for this news organization, I can come to you here, And this is a bet. This is the I'm pledging here, James. And I can tell you, I have done something seriously wrong, because this is why I called Boiling Frogs Post the site for irate minority, with emphasis on minority. And I'm not talking about gender, sex, and that kind of crap. I'm talking about people who are open-minded. They are critical thinkers, and they really, really, really want to engage in this constructive community discussion. The rest of the people, they can go find different homes. I don't want them. I don't want them as part of our site.
I certainly understand that sentiment, and I can relate that, it's more about the quality of the people that are in the community rather than simply the quantity. I don't want 10 million people watching my videos if there are 10 million people who are not going to contribute.
You're doing something really wrong, because really, to get that number, honestly, I don't think it would be possible. You saw us, James. We did not cover a crap water of coverage when it came to Trump's election versus, who was it, Hillary Clinton. Because in 2008, you and I kept telling people, this is ridiculous, this shenanigan. We wrote articles. We had roundtables. We did that in 2012. Now, we don't even do that. I just don't want to engage in that kind of thing. And guess what? Had we done that, we would have had maybe hundreds of more subscribers or donors for our Kickstarter. There are enough people doing that. We are not one of them. You don't like it, go there. Nobody's forcing you. It's a voluntary engagement. We want to engage with you. And if you want to engage with us, be part of this, you're welcome. Leave outside the door, on the other side of the door, anything that has to do with the election and partisanship and all those kind of stuff. We don't do that. We don't do Kardashian. And again, this lady, she expressed it better than anybody can. And this lady represents thousands, close to 2,000 subscribers we have. Spiro?
Okay, this comment is from a NewsBud community member named Karen. She stated, I'm sharing this video with my friends with a compelling plea for them to support NewsBud. Since I started watching NewsBud and became a subscriber, I feel like when I talk to people about complex issues of what's going on in the world, I know more about the news, I'm more up to date, and have unbiased information for more countries than anyone I know. Now, the mainstream leaves most people spending hours searching various country-specific topics to find out about an isolated incident here or there, but not like this giant comprehensive picture of the world and how it all fits and works together currently. No other media site does this in any country that doesn't share a heavy bias in favor or against the country that is where it's coming from. There's no such single source like it. I can't go anywhere else single source and find out about the Russian news sources takes on various countries and how China and Pakistan and India are playing together and how the U.S. and NATO and the U.N. organizations are working together in a variety of countries throughout the world. Not only is no one else reporting this, but if they do report on a single issue, it's not trustworthy because who knows if Swiffer, for example, who sells ads in their paper, doesn't have a manufacturing plant in that country where the topic took place. You know, advertiser-funded news can't be trusted. You are truly one of a kind. I feel like the dollars spent on NewsBud are the loudest anti-establishment dollars anyone can spend today. Good luck, NewsBud. I hope more people come to find the value in what I have by subscribing. And that's really a thoughtful and in-depth comment from Karen. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank Karen because Karen represents who we want at NewsBud. Now, I know somebody's going to probably sue us and we're going to be taken to court saying we are discriminating against shallow people, for example. Have they passed that law that you need to have a quota? You need to have at least 10% of your subscribers be the dumbified shallow people. If not, you're discriminating against them. Well, that's me, people. That's this, what Spiro read here is, does represent. And if you see the comment section of our site for the past 1 year, go through them, you will see these types of individual. If you're one of them, you consider yourself someone who wants to know, who's open-minded, who's not an ideologue, who wants to be part of a community, please come join us, but we won't force you. And on the other hand, when we were talking about the subscribers, etc., you know, at some point, James, for example, I'm just giving this as an example because I want everything to be out in the open. If let's say by 1 year after we finish phase four and give this time, see how many people voluntarily subscribe with 90% of the content being free to all. If we see that that is not happening, it is our free choice to say we want to make this community a community of subscribers. And multimedia and everything is here. Anybody who wants to do this stuff and wants to be part of community, come and join. We may want to be happy with 5,000 or 3,000 people. That's our choice. And that's the freedom I'm talking about. I'm talking about not following trends. One thing I can guarantee people, under no circumstances I will ever run ad on our site. It will never happen. I find it despicable, and I absolutely stand against all those so-called alternative media popping up ads for you. That's for that. Under no circumstances we are or I am going to get money from any foundation. I don't care what the name. We don't do foundation business. Okay, philanthropists, we don't do that. That is not going to happen. And under no circumstances, I know Alex Jones and a lot of people have been breaking this stuff. We are not in the business of taking side with one puppet against one puppet. We don't do that. That is not journalism. That is against any kind of ethical practice in any journalism. It's not going to happen. So if you want your ideology to be broadcast, it's not going to happen at NewsBud. So please don't come. Don't become part of NewsBud. We are selective. We don't watch quota, and that is our business model. This is our own model. And we're being honest about it.
Yes. NewsBud, NewsBud's not for sale either, by the way.
Oh, and guess what? They tried to buy us out. I'm sorry, Spira, I won't interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's I'd rather you tell it. We've been approached multiple times. NewsBud has with big money offers to be bought out, basically.
Yeah. Do you know? The interesting thing is, remember the last phase, Corbett, when we didn't think we were gonna make it because we only had 5 days left. We actually got proposed, and they said, just write your number. They said, sharpen your pencil and write down your number for 51.49% share. 49 being me, us, NewsBud, 51 being whoever this person was. I mean, it's a big, big name. It's a very big name person, company, etc. But I said, I'm not going to sharpen any pencil. I mean, it's like, but you know, this Kickstarter is not going to make it. But you want to continue this. You have, all the sugar-coated talking, etc. Not only that, only about 3 weeks ago, I was approached by another major news organization offering $1 million a year salary for me to go and work for their news organization. And not something that I'm going to work 40 hours for, I don't know, maybe 10 hours, be available for commentaries, etc. No, we are not for sale. We are not. We would rather work with 5,000-6,000 people, community members, than go and sell our soul. And we're not going to sell our soul for the advertisement either.
Well, I feel a little bit sad now because no one has ever offered to buy me out. I wouldn't do it. But
that is so not true. I know, and this is something I've known about James, and one of the conversation I had, and this is not to compliment or kiss your butt or anything, James, but I was telling Spira, I said, when I said James Corbett, when we talk about which media organizations do you trust, I'm going to say, okay, Corbett Report. I have seen some good collection of editorials, let's say at Global Research, Land Destroyer has, but that's it. I can't recommend anyone because I don't know who funds them. I don't know much about them. But one of the things I told Spira was, how many people have you known or do you know of who would say no if they're offered a price to sell out? And I said, I know with 100% certainty, and if you prove me wrong, you're going to be in trouble, James. I said, James is one of those guys. If they go and say, I give you $10 million a year, but you work for me, he would say, no. I am happy working solo because I want to do the things the way I see it. I don't want to be dependent. And how many people have I known in my life who doesn't come with a price tag? Well, that's a rarity, James. Unfortunately, that's not the case. We do have maybe difficult circumstances in our life, and people go and, a certain price, they say, okay, because this is going to provide this and this and this. But no, we don't have that. And yes, James, you have, I'm sure they have tried to bait you into accepting a much better position.
Well, not to my knowledge, but at any rate, this is my blasting out to everyone that it won't work anyway, so maybe don't bother trying. But Spiro, right. you should definitely get Sibel hooked up with AdBlock Plus. Maybe you can install that for her, because I have not seen an ad on the internet in years, and I forget how annoying and pervasive and subversive they really are. So I should probably turn my AdBlock Plus off just for a few days, just to remind myself about the ever-present presence of these intrusions on our info browsing experience, because it really does make a difference. And of course, that's why the Corbett Report has never run an ad and never will. So I am 100% on board with that. And I understand completely about fostering a community of value rather than just getting everyone on board the train, as many people as possible. I don't think that's the way to go.
Perfect.
Either. So I agree with that.
You put it so much better than I did. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you can use that quote from now on.
I'm going to. You bet.
Yes, and you are right. I do have a subscriber newsletter. To be fair, the editorial that I write for that is freely available on theinternationalforecaster.com. But I do have a subscriber video in which we do not talk about anything serious, and I hope you'll be joining me for this weekend's subscriber newsletter after we're done recording this. But you're right, there is a paywall aspect, I suppose, to the Corbett Report, and I certainly think of it as just a perk for the people who are making this possible, as I'm sure you look at the exclusive videos that you have there at NewsBud.
There are so many positive externalities associated with that, James, because I tell you this. For example, when even by mistake I glance over comments posted under your YouTube, I don't care who you have. It's like, oh, I don't want to even read. On the other hand, I have to tell you this. I come to your site, Corbett Report, just for, you know, one purpose, to read the comments posted. And these are the subscribers for Corbett Report. And that's exactly what I see, just like this lady, Karen, okay? There are people who are engaged in analytical discussion, and even if there is disagreement, it is carried out in a very constructive, civilized fashion. So when I want to see real feedback to your videos or the articles or something we do together, I go and read the comments at CorbettReport.com, because those comments are worth thinking. Plus, those comments a lot of times make me pause. I'm like, you know what? I did not consider that angle, but that's a great point. That's the constructive community I'm talking about. And the difference between those people commenting, engaging in constructive discussion on your site versus this people on YouTube. Ugh. Okay.
I hear you. I don't look at the comments on YouTube either, because they are useless. So you're right. All right. Excellent. Well, that's it. We're going to direct people over to newsbud.com, where they can, of course, get all the details about the Kickstarter. We'll have a direct link there for people who want to contribute or people who want to sign up as subscribers, members of the community. And I'm assuming most of my audience already knows about NewsBud, but for those who don't, they can get acquainted with all of the material that's coming out, as we say, on a daily basis now. Just an incredible amount of work. So, Sibel, Spiro, you are making it happen. It is amazing to watch this coming together. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Many thanks, James, for giving us this opportunity yet again.
Thanks for all you do, James, and thanks for having us on. We greatly appreciate it. And we'd like to thank everyone out there who does support NewsBud and who does continue to support Corbett Report.
Yes, and I echo that. Please do support Corbett Report as well and NewsBud. And until later, I'll talk to you another time. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.